Our first reading can be found on page 47 in the Pew Bibles. And I'm reading from Genesis chapter 42, reading the first 22 verses. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Now go down there and buy some for us, so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others, because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain for the famine that was in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sowed grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him and their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you, you are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back to your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified, and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us." Reuben replied, Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now he must give an accounting for his blood."
We pick up the story again in Genesis chapter 43, verses 1 to 14, and then again at the end of chapter 44. You can follow it on page 48. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they'd eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you."'" Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How are we to know he would say, 'Bring your brother down here'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him." If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we hadn't delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. And continuing on in chapter 44 from verse 30. Judah is speaking. So now, if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the grey head of our father down to the grave in sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please let your servant remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we stand, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you gave your life for each of us, that we might know your love and live. As we look into your word now, please would you speak to us for your name's sake. Amen. Please do sit down. Can I get this to work? Yes. Well, if you're visiting us, you may not know that we are in the middle of a series, a short series, looking at the life of Joseph. And all that we can learn through him, or some of the things we can learn through him. And if you've been following the series, we started off by looking at Genesis 37 and saw that God's man will be exalted despite being rejected. Then we looked at Genesis 39, God's man is faithful despite being unjustly treated. And last week, we looked at Genesis 40 to 41 and saw that God rescues the world through his man. And in this series, we've seen how the underlying truths that are being worked out in the life of Joseph actually point us forward to the person of Christ himself. And how, as we've explored these different themes, it takes us right to the heart of the gospel and to the person of Jesus. And so today, we have the mammoth task of looking at three chapters, 42 to 44, and looking at God's man brings God's people to repentance. God brings his people to repentance. Now, rest assured, we can't look at every detail in three chapters in the time that we have this morning. So I'm going to highlight on certain truths that underpin the events that are described in these chapters. And if you'd like to look at pages 47 and 48 in the Pew Bibles, you will be able to follow, hopefully, where I'm going. In chapter 42, verses 1 to 5, and in chapter 43, verse 1, we see how God uses the circumstances of an extensive famine to begin a change in the hearts of Joseph's brothers. The circumstances begin to affect the beginnings of change in Joseph's brothers. Initially, Jacob, their aged father, dispatches the brothers to Egypt, and no wonder it says that the brothers are casting looks at one another, in order to buy grain and food for their survival. And in these verses, I suggest that we see how God uses the physical circumstances of the wider world to bear on the spiritual and physical circumstances of his people. And in this instance, the famine brings Joseph's brothers to Egypt, and indeed fulfilling the dream that Joseph had those many years before. Note too that this happens twice, both here in chapter 42 and again at the beginning of chapter 43, because the famine is prolonged and severe. And so the story unfolds. The brothers go to Egypt, unrecognized by them. Joseph has been put in charge of grain and food distribution for the whole country. And so, as chapter 42 unfolds, we see how God uses Joseph to bring to light the brothers' wrongdoing of many years before. Under the guise of thinking they are foreign spies, Joseph has them put in prison for 3 days. And this has the effect of continuing to initiate their change of heart. Look at verses 21 and 23 of chapter 42. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished." Why? "Because of our brother." Their conscience is pricking them. And God uses Joseph through these circumstances to bring this to light, to really stir their hearts and say, "Hang on a moment, we need to recognize that we did wrong." So God uses the circumstance of the extensive famine to effect these beginnings of a change of heart in Joseph's brothers, and indeed their recognition of guilt. Joseph confronts the brothers with a challenge. Whilst keeping Simeon in custody, they are instructed to go back home and return with their youngest brother, Benjamin. Unknown to the brothers, Joseph instructs his staff to put their silver, which they were to use in payment for the food, back into their sacks. And on their way home, verse 27, one of them goes to feed their donkey and discovers the silver in their sack. But note their reaction, verse 28. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" Interesting, isn't it? And we can see how through these circumstances, they recognize the action of God. God is really beginning to tug at their heartstrings and realize that yes, they need to come to terms with what they have done. Their guilty consciences are triggered once again. So when they get home back to poor old Jacob, they explain to their father what has happened, much to his consternation and grief. And so in these chapters, we see God working through Joseph to bring about a change of heart in his brothers. Their wrongs are brought into the open, and it does lead to their repentance. And we see a similar pattern in chapter 44 when they discover the silver cup in Benjamin's sack. There isn't time to go through it, but look at 44:10-16. Let's pause for a moment here and ask ourselves a question. Through the circumstances of the famine and the action of Joseph, God brings the brothers to a place of acknowledging their wrong and expressing their guilt in what they had done. What you and I would say, God brings them to a place of repentance. And what I'd like you just to contemplate for a few moments and chat with those next to you, can you recognise any similarities in your life, i.e., through circumstances and the action of others, when God has helped you either to a similar place of recognition of wrong and to a place of repentance, or perhaps in some other way where those two things, circumstances and the action of others, have been instrumental in God speaking to you? So perhaps you can turn to the person next to you and have just a little bit of time to reflect on that, and then we'll carry on in a moment. But I wonder if you can recognise similarities. I was just saying to James, there have been numerous times in my own life where God has used circumstances and other people to help guide and direct me in life. And it's interesting that as we look at this life of Joseph, how God uses those two things to guide his brothers to the place where they should be. So let's quickly resume our study. Please note in passing how in chapter 42, verse 9, Joseph remembered his dreams as his brothers bowed down in front of him. The realization dawns on Joseph that his dreams were not just wishful thinking or daydreams, but they had actually been given to him by God to foretell the future. Note too in chapter 42, verse 18, how Joseph's faith shaped his behavior. I wonder if you spotted that. Verse 18. And although through this passage it looks as if Joseph is playing games with his brothers, what actually is taking place, because we've seen time and again that the Lord was with Joseph, we see that it is God himself who is at work and bringing his brothers to a place of genuine repentance. There are all sorts of fascinating things in these chapters that I'd love to dwell on, but there just isn't time. Let's move to a conclusion. So as we move to the final part of today's study, when the brothers are instructed to return to Egypt for more grain, they have to take their youngest brother Benjamin with them. Here, please note the offer of Judah in chapter 43, verse 9, and again in 44:18-34. And note, and this is a crucial point, how when they do decide to return to Egypt with Benjamin, the action of Judah. Judah offers his life as a surety for Benjamin's. Chapter 43, verse 8. And I want to suggest that here again, we foresee the plan of God that will be worked out through the person of Jesus. Jesus offers his life in place of yours and mine. Jesus, if you like, offers his life as a surety for yours and mine before our Heavenly Father. Jesus dies in your place and mine on the cross to bring about our forgiveness and the knowledge of his love. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Paul was later to write, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for men, for all men." And so we see, just as Judah says to his father, "Look, I offer my life as a surety for Benjamin," Jesus says to his heavenly Father, "Father, I offer my life as a surety for theirs, for yours, for mine," so that we might know that wonderful knowledge of the love of God and the freedom and the love that he brings. And I want to close with these lovely words from a Hillsong song. Some of you may know it. "Trading your life for my offences, for my redemption you carried all the blame. Breaking the curse of our condition, perfection took our place. When only love could make a way, you gave your life in a beautiful exchange." Isn't that beautiful? And so we see in the action of Judah giving his life as a surety for Benjamin, we see played out something that God was going to do in Christ, as Jesus, God's Son, gives his life as a surety for yours and mine. He died that we might be forgiven and live in the full light of God's love and of his forgiveness. Well, my friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. And even though these events in the life of Joseph and his brothers and his father took place so many years ago, yet we can trace your hand and we can recognize how you work in our own day and in our own lives. And Lord and Father, we thank you so much that Jesus gave his life as a surety for ours on the cross, that we might live and know your love for ourselves. Amen.